Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. Tonight, we bring to you Sports Whispers Weekly, where we talk nothing but sports for the duration of the show. My, oh, my, it's been a very, very busy week, a week that was supposed to be my week off to begin with, but very, very busy week nonetheless. Luckily, I was able to get back in time for tonight's show, but we have a lot to get to. We have the NFL draft coming up this Thursday. We also have the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs that are currently underway, which we will discuss. We'll break down each series and who we see coming out on top for each series. We have actually, quite frankly, we have a few games already in the books for the NBA and one game in the books currently for the NHL. Right now I have Diane on the line. How are you doing tonight, Diane?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Like I said, it's been very busy. I meant to call into Lou's show today, but I ended up having to help out a family member with moving. So unfortunately, I didn't get home until like about an hour ago. But Diane, unfortunately, your Devils did not make the playoffs this year. Instead, the way we have it listed right now for our Stanley Cup playoff brackets, we have, well, first off, one game is already in the books with the Carolina Hurricanes defeating the New York Islanders by a score of 3-1 earlier today, where Frederick Anderson made 33 saves for the Carolina Hurricanes in net, and also Stefan Nosin broke the tie in the third period for Carolina, which helped Carolina get off to a 1-0 series lead for this matchup here. We've also added Lou and we've added Alex onto the line. How are you two doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks, Steve.
Much better.
Love you guys.
Yeah, like I said earlier, Lou, apologies for not being able to make your show earlier today. I had to help a family member with something that they needed to take care of. So,
yeah,
all good.
I'm sorry about
Doug Mafia.
I'm sorry about last week's show.
Well. Here's what we have right now. Obviously, like I said, we were going to do as far as last week's show, Lou, you told me already what had happened. That's no problem. You know, I mean, if considering your circumstances, honestly, you probably. You know, you didn't even need to call in last week with those circumstances. Tonight we do have, like I mentioned earlier, we have the NFL draft to cover. We're going to start off with the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Wow.
And we will also dive into the NBA playoffs as well. Like I mentioned earlier, the Carolina Hurricanes, they are off to a 1-0 series lead over the New York Islanders, thanks to a 3-1 victory today off of goals by Evgeny Kuznetsov, Stefan Nosin, and Martin Nekas.
Wow.
Nekas? Huh?
Rua didn't get a week one win. Yeah, under his coach. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing too with the Islanders. You know, they may have a legendary player as their head coach, Patrick Waugh, but it's going to take more than just a new coach to, you know, it's going to take more than just a new coach for them to really come into form.
Yeah,
just because you're a good player doesn't mean you make a good coach.
That's
exactly
correct,
Diane. Great point, Diane. Yeah, no, like, he can't be on the skates for him. They got to perform.
Yeah.
They do. And to be fair, he is actually a good coach. Patrick Waugh is
actually a good coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Steve, think about it. Like, in the grand scheme of things, like, think about it. How can you tell if he's a great coach? Like, these guys are playing on ice all their lives. Hmm. Like, you know, he might be a great coach. He might be a great motivator. That's the key. Like, you've seen, like, Michael Jordan, terrible coach. But, like, hopefully Patrick Roy is, like, getting into these players.
Right.
Yeah. You know what the big problem is, though? No matter how good of a coach you may be, sometimes you may just run into that buzzsaw. And, I feel bad for the Islanders because I believe Carolina, they've been a tough team for so many years over the last decade that it's very hard to let alone get a win against them, but also to even win a series against them. They're always one of those roadblocks that you're looking at whenever it comes to a potential Stanley Cup run.
Yes.
I mean, let's start with you on this one, Lou. What do you think about Carolina getting an early 1-0 series lead on the Islanders? Obviously it's a long series, or it could be a long series, but do the Islanders have the firepower to match up with the Hurricanes?
Not at all. Carolina's been too strong all year. I mean, the Islanders did make a surge down the stretch, but Carolina has been too stuck with that offense of theirs, and I think it's going to be a quick exit for the Islanders, sorry to say. But this team has been strong all year, and they show no signs of letting up. So I think it might be, you know, 5 at most, but other than that, this is their series.
Yeah, I mean, we have seen potential stolen games by the Islanders previously in previous years in the playoffs, but it's one thing when you're playing a team like Tampa Bay, who, you know, was coming off of a long stretch of Stanley Cup final appearances, and then there's Carolina, who's basically been hungry for so many years just to try and get a cup appearance. And the thing with Carolina is it doesn't matter how many players they lose. It almost seems like they have the perfect plug-and-play type of players where it doesn't matter how long they may have been riding the bench for. If somebody gets hurt, they simply plug them in and get pretty much the same production with no problem.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, if Frederick Anderson is also a pretty accomplished goaltender playoff-wise as well. If he goes down, though, they do have Pyotr Kochetkov, who is more than willing to be able to, or more than able, I should say, to be able to handle playoff, any sort of playoff experience that he could potentially get. I mean, with a 23-13-0-4 record this year as the backup to Frederik Andersen. I mean, I'm not really seeing too many holes in this Carolina team. What are your thoughts, Alex, on Carolina off to a early 1-0 series lead over the Islanders? Alex, you there?
Yeah, sorry, Steve. What was the question?
What are your thoughts on a Carolina's getting off to an early 1-0 lead on the Islanders for this series?
Well, I mean, there you go. What's it called? Can easily, you know, strike back. But yeah, it's always good to jump up early. I mean, overall, to that series, to a man on man, like honestly, I think the Islanders are going to win that. But that bodes well for the Carolina Panthers to you know, score a couple goals early. I think the Islanders still got that one. But, I mean, come on. Everything's early. Can't judge a series on one goal.
Well, obviously, no. You can't judge a series off of just one game. But
no.
You know, I think, and also another thing too is Carolina has the home ice advantage too. So, you know, obviously you can't.
It's gonna be tougher.
Yeah, it is gonna be tougher, especially for a team like New York who just barely got in to begin with. As a matter of fact, I think they were the last team, or no, they weren't the last team. The last team to qualify was Washington. For the Eastern Conference. Another series that is currently underway right now, the Boston Bruins have a 1-0 lead right now at the start of the second period against the Toronto Maple Leafs off of a early 2-on-1 goal by John Beecher on the Boston Bruins fourth line. And I got to tell you, coming from speaking specifically, as everybody knows, you know, I'm a fan of all Boston sports. It doesn't matter who it is: Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, Patriots.
Doesn't matter.
Here's the thing with Boston. Normally, everybody would think that, oh, you know, he's a Boston homer. He's going to go Boston anyways. I think Boston, just based off of Toronto's history, now Toronto obviously, you know, they have one of the best teams that they've had over the last decade. I think Boston beats Toronto in 7 games. However, I would be very surprised if Boston makes it out of the second round. Because Boston will face the winner of Florida and Tampa Bay. And to be perfectly honest, with the just based on this team, like the team depth to begin with, that's on this team, when you compare it to a team like Florida or Tampa Bay, Florida and Tampa Bay, they just have better weapons overall. Now, on paper, that is.
Right.
However, though, you know, I mean, Boston, they were atop the Atlantic Division for most of the year. And when you consider their roster, you would have to think, oh, that can't be a fluke that they were on top of, you know, they were on top of the East for, well, I shouldn't say the East, because the New York Rangers pretty much held that title.
Yes.
But, you know, Boston was on top of the Atlantic Division for pretty much most of the year, and Florida, it was basically a back and forth towards the end with Florida for control of the Atlantic Division, all the way down to the final game of the season, actually, where Florida ended up just trouncing all over Toronto, and because of that win, ended up taking first place in the Atlantic Division. Now, I think the big X factor in this series will be the health of William Nylander. Nylander is Toronto's second highest scorer in this, and obviously he's not playing tonight. There's a question as to whether or not he'll be able to play Monday. He hasn't been practicing. What was that, Alex?
I'm just saying, Steve, like, bro, it's the biggest game of our lives. Like, right now, all we have is today. He's not playing tonight?
Because he's injured.
You know, that's affecting the, betting lines. Is he out? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, if he's not good for tonight, I'm going to – I ain't stupid. He's not going to be good the next 4 or 5 or 9 days. He's obviously injured.
Yeah. No, he's the thing is he missed the last I forget how many games of the regular season, but they said that he should be ready to go for the start of the playoffs. So that's the big question, considering that he wasn't able to go tonight. That could be a potential X factor of this series, because when Nylander is in the lineup, he's a complete. This Toronto team is a completely different team.
We just like him.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So, I mean, let's start off with you, Alex. Who do you have in this? Who do you have taking this series with Boston and Toronto?
Boston. Boston series. I think Boston overall is going to win 7 games. It's going to be a tough series.
You got Boston in 7?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I do.
I mean, it would make sense considering their history. Their history. I don't think there's been a Boston Toronto series that has finished early. I think most of the time it has gone to 7 games completely, and I mean that's to be expected for a rivalry type matchup like this.
Of course, and
obviously
Toronto. Like to say, I mean, just think about the overall spectrum of it. You know, Boston's proud. I mean, I'm telling you, like, you know, if they have to play 4 games on their ice, Boston's not losing that. I'm going Boston.
Right. I mean, obviously, if you're looking at either team to stand on their head, you know, who's more likely to do that, Boston or Toronto, it would probably be Boston when you look at their goaltending tandem. And that's another question. That's another question, too, that's going to come into play is, obviously, Jeremy Swayman is starting tonight. Will Swayman be starting the entire series, or are they going to do a goalie rotation, which may not necessarily be a smart idea in certain situations? But, I mean, we saw what happened last season. And just like that, 2-0 Boston now on a goal, I think, by Brandon Carlo. 2-0 Boston in the second period here. But what was I saying? Yeah, when you consider what happened last year with the Boston Bruins, you know, they were considered to be the heavy favorites to win it all with the record-setting season that they had, and then they got bounced in the first round in 7 or 6 or 7 games. I forget the exact number. I think it was 7. And the reason being was because they wouldn't move on from an injured Linus Ullmark until game 7, where they then decided to put in a cold Jeremy Swayman for that game. And, I mean, he had the game of his life that game, and ultimately Florida ended up winning it. I think it was in overtime that Florida won it in. And it just kind of begs the question, is it better to go onto a goalie rotation if, like, say, for example, let's say Boston loses these first two games? Would it be better for them to switch to Ullmark in order to prevent a potential, in order to prevent any potential injury happening to Swayman, and vice versa? If Ullmark had lost these first two games, would it be better to have a goalie type rotation that way?
Yes.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that, Alex? Goalie rotation, good or bad for the playoffs? All right, let's go over to you, Lou. While we wait for Alex to come back, what are your thoughts, Lou? Goalie rotation, is it good or bad for a playoff run? And also, who do you see taking this series between Boston and Toronto?
I see Boston taking this series. I mean, you have Austin Matthews, okay, but Carolina has been strong here in the division, and they don't show no signs of letting up. And I think goalie rotation, I think it's a good thing. I think it's going to help the team more especially if you're going to need it later on. If your goaltender is not doing well or whatnot, right from the last game, you might need to break it up a bit. So I don't see there's any harm in it at all. I mean, I think it might be good for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's definitely something. I mean, it all depends. If you have a goaltender who's just completely red hot, obviously you ride the red hot goaltender. And looks like we've re-added Alex. Alex, what are your thoughts on a potential goaltender rotation in a playoff run?
What are my thoughts on a goaltender rotation? If you're going to the playoffs, you got to have one guy. You cannot rotate people. It kills the confidence of the other players. You need to have one guy who knows he's the boss. I mean, that's like saying if you're going to the playoffs, Giants or Jets, oh, we're not sure if we want to start Daniel Jones or Eli Manning. No. You need to know who you're starting. When you get into the playoffs, you need to have one guy.
Well, I mean, obviously for the NFL, it's completely different because you have, if you're not starting your top quarterback, you're basically screwed. But here's the thing with what happens if we have another situation like what happened last year, where Linus Ullmark ended up getting injured early on in the series.
Thank you.
Do you stay with that injured goaltender, even if he might be, even if he might be the hot hand?
Yeah, and Steve, hold on, pump the brakes. That's the only reason I said that. Different sports are, different things, but, like, it's the same policy. Dude, if you don't believe in your goaltender, if the coaches are saying, we're not sure, we'll pull you out, the goaltender, his mentality goes to shit. The rest of the team goes to shit. Like, you have to believe in your goaltender. The number one, the most important position in hockey or soccer at least, is the goalie. Lacrosse, definitely.
Right.
You have to believe in your goalie. I'm not sure who's starting. Dude, you're fucking your team. Pardon my French.
But what if your goaltender is dealing with a nagging injury, though, like what happened with Ullmark last year?
Well, yeah.
I
would absolutely respect that. If my goalie was dealing with an injury, I would absolutely say, you know what, he's going to be back next week. In the meantime, I'm starting this guy. You have to have full confidence in someone. If you're dancing on the issue, it's like, dude, it's like, salt in the wound. Like, it's like a bleeding shark. They're gonna kill you in the ocean. I mean, come on. You cannot be, like, indecisive. The NHL teams right now with the scouting, the players, they're going to kill them. Yeah. I mean, you gotta mask it a little bit better than that.
True, that is a fair assessment. And you know, normally, NHL teams, they have there's a pretty good understanding as to who is likely going to be the starting netminder for each team usually before the playoffs even begin. So
Wow. That's
why it's very unique this season with Boston, considering the fact that they have two starting caliber type goaltenders on their team. And it's basically trying to decide who gives you the better chance to win between the two of them. And by the way, as far as that second goal goes, that goal reads Brandon Carlo with assists going to Jake DeBrusque and Hampus Lindholm for the 2-0 Boston lead. Now, going on to the other brackets, we'll go on specifically to the next one that the winner of this series will face, and that is the Florida Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I don't know if I said it or not, but Boston in seven. I have for this series.
I think you have.
As far as I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I did because I've been going on and on.
My answer, but Boston.
Oh, Diane.
How many games, Diane?
Six.
You know, I could see six. I could see six, especially when you consider when you consider how shaky Toronto has been all year long. The reason why I say that is because you take a look at Toronto's starting goaltender. Yeah, they may have finished third in the division. Their starting goaltender had a save percentage of below 90%.
You know.
When you take into account the fact that Boston is usually a high shot taking team most of the time, Toronto, they're also dealing with a couple of injuries as well on the blue line, which. That's why, you know, Mark Giordano isn't playing tonight, and also TJ Brody isn't playing tonight, who I believe is two of their left shot defensemen on this team. You know, I'd say maybe the one weakness Toronto has is either defensively or in the net. So I could definitely see an argument for Boston in six.
Hey, did you see him beat Nick?
Oh, I lost.
All right, now for this next matchup though, Florida and Tampa.
Hey, Bronson,
I got.
It's been a long time
since I rock and roll.
I think with Tampa and Florida, the one thing I'm looking at specifically in this series is what version of Sergei Bobrovsky are we going to get? Are we going to get Sergei Bobrovsky? For Florida.
Okay.
Are we going to get the Sergei Bobrovsky who led Florida to the Stanley Cup Finals last year? Or are we going to see the Sergei Bobrovsky who was kind of 50-50 during his time with the Columbus Blue Jackets? I think that could be potentially very key specifically against a team like Tampa Bay, who is, despite their record and despite the fact that they're a wild card team, they're a very sharp sniping team in particular. I believe, who was it? Nikita Kucherov, I believe, if I remember correctly, he actually had 100 assists this season in setting up other players. The first player to have 100 assists in quite a long time in NHL history. You know, obviously they have Andrei Vasilevsky, who's a former Vezina Trophy winner out there in net for Tampa. Now, obviously, though, Vasilevsky has had an off season. You know, only he had a 2.9 goals against average, which is definitely way off when it comes to what you're normally expecting out of him. And only a 90% save percentage as well, which is considered, I would say it's possibly a career low for him. Vasilevsky finished the season with a 30-20-2 record, while Sergei Bobrovsky finished with a 36-17-4 record with a goals against average of 2.37 and a save percentage of 91.5%. If I'm going, I'm just going to go based off of my gut here. I'm going to say the Florida Panthers take this. I'll say Florida in six. And the only reason why I'll give Tampa Bay that much is because, I mean, they still have some heavy snipers in Kucherov, Stamkos, Braden Point. You know, it's a lot of those players on that roster. Keep in mind, this Tampa Bay roster is pretty much almost the exact same roster that won all those Stanley Cups a couple years ago. So a lot of the key players are still there. However, though, you know, Florida, they're hungry, obviously, to get back to the Stanley Cup final. And, I mean, let's face it, they're younger. Overall, their roster is definitely a lot younger. And, I mean, they're in first place for a reason this year. So I'll say Florida in six. I would not be surprised if Tampa makes this a series. This just comes down to ultimately what's more important, youth or experience in this specific matchup. Let's start with you, Lou. What are your thoughts between Florida and Tampa Bay? Can the experienced Tampa Bay Lightning upset the young Florida Panthers squad?
Well, as you were mentioning, what kind of a goaltending performance we're going to get from this goaltender? Are we going to be like, you know, like it was before, or is it going to be like the Columbus Blue Jackets version? Because if you guys that, you're in a lot of trouble because the Blue Jackets, of course, are, you know, a trash dump of a hockey team. So you probably don't want that. I've always, you know, pictured experience over youth because you know what you're up against. You've been there, you know what to do. With a rookie, you never know. They're inexperienced. They get nervous. And don't begin. So I do go with experience over youth because they know the game better.
So you think Tampa Bay will upset Florida in this series?
I do.
Let's go over to Alex. Alex, what are your thoughts on Florida and Tampa Bay?
Hey guys, I got to honestly say, I mean, I think Tampa's going to win that. I think it's interesting, right? They have an injection of small, like, youthful players coming in, and they have the battle-tested component. Like, we're not comparing it to war, but, like, dude, Tampa has been through the battles. I'm going Tampa Bay.
Right.
I'm going Tampa Bay. Until they prove me wrong, I'm going Tampa Bay.
What are your thoughts, Diane, on this matchup? Tampa Bay with the experience or Florida with the youth?
Tampa.
Man, I really hope Tampa will be able to upset Florida. If they upset Florida, I'll tell you one thing, that is one huge juggernaut out of this playoff picture.
Yes.
If somehow Tampa Bay can upset Florida, I'll put it this way. I like the Bruins matchup a lot better against Tampa than I do against Florida.
Sure. But, I mean, Steve, you can't see Tampa winning that round. Tampa could easily win that round.
They can, yeah. But it's like I said earlier. I think a lot of Florida's success depends on what version of Sergei Bobrovsky they get. Do they get the Sergei Bobrovsky who has been dominant with Florida, or do they get the Sergei Bobrovsky who became more of a 50-50 type goaltender when he was with Columbus?
Yeah, true.
Because like with Columbus, he'd be spectacular during the regular season, but when the playoffs came around, he would basically shit the bed all the time.
Yeah. What's the Boston score?
2-0.
Oh, thank God.
2-0 on goals by Johnny Beecher and Brandon Carlo.
I'm not a betting man, but I was. Thank God.
Right.
Of course I am.
Well,
I told you. I'm guilty.
And Austin, looks like Austin Matthews going to the penalty box here. I told you, Alex, I would be very surprised if Boston drops game one.
No, you put it on point. You know, we never push gambling, but hey, I like to throw the dice, and you give me some good advice, and that's it. Keep it moving.
All right, let's go over to our next matchup. We have the New York Rangers taking on the Washington Capitals in what may be Alexander Ovechkin's last gasp at trying to get another Stanley Cup victory. I mean, let's be honest here. With how dominant New York has been this entire year, and by the way, remember all that talk we had about Alexis Lafreniere? He's finally transformed into the player that Rangers fans thought they were getting when they originally drafted him. I'll just be straight right now. I have New York in 4 or 5. I think at most Washington gets maybe one win. This New York team, they're probably the best Rangers team that they've had in quite a while out there in New York. And when everybody is clicking on all cylinders, New York is just outright dangerous. And honestly, you know, it doesn't help watch. Oh, there we go. 3-0, Alex. Jake DeBrusque. 3-0 Bruins.
The thing that I always wondered, Steve,
yeah,
is like,
here we go.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Go
Steve,
ahead,
here
Luke.
We go. The problem is that it seems like almost every year, every time someone wins the President's Trophy, they seem the team that wins it seems to bow out early. You know, all that.
Well, yeah.
All the hype, all the worthy deal this year, and they, you know, got the best record. And when it comes to the playoffs, they just can't hold it. For some reason, they just need to choke.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Let me chime in real quick. I mean, think about it. You're going in, you're the fat cat. You're getting kind of lazy, complacent. You're already set, right? The teams on the 7A side, on the 7th, 8th seeds coming in hungry, they're battling just to get in. They're going to take your block off. That's why it's a totally different game. The guys who are already there, they're resting players. No, the guys on the other block, on the 7th, 8th seed, they're so much hungrier. They're playing at a different level. It could be hockey, basketball, football, anything.
yes.
It's so, I mean, that's always going to be the case. I mean, I love that. That's the underdog right there.
It is.
Well, with that being said, Washington or New York?
I'm still.
I mean, does Washington really have a prayer in this series, considering they just barely got in as it was?
If Ovechkin stays in his game, they might be able to do a little something. I don't know if it's going to be enough to overtake the Rangers, but, you know, Ovechkin has to stay in his game. Otherwise, you know, this will be a very short series.
What do you think, Alex, with the Capitals and the Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, what was the question, Steve? Sorry. I'm facing a lot of consequences.
Oh, what do you think? What do you think with Washington and the New York Rangers?
I think overall, I mean, you have Ove, you have a lot of incredible things. I mean, right now, man for man. I would say, you know, man for man. When you're ever not sure about your showdown in life, check it out, man for man. The Rangers are a lot more talented, a lot stronger. So I'd say Rangers in six, because I know that I respect the enemy. I respect the enemy. I say six games. Very tough. You know, it's going to be a tough series. Dude, Obi, you think Obi's going to go quietly? Obi's going to score probably seven or eight goals, or at least three or four.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, Ovechkin is clearly he's still the number one weapon that Washington has. I mean, honestly, he could probably win a couple of games on his own offensively for them specifically.
He could beat them like 3-2. Obi could score like three goals, and the Rangers could two. I mean, he's dangerous. So it's like no one's ever put to bed. And the Capitals are dangerous. I would say maybe on a good day, like Rangers and six. The Rangers could easily lose this series. The Capitals don't like them. Capitals are good. Do the math. Everyone's saying, oh, yeah. Nothing's automatic.
Jake DeBrusk. I was just going to say real quick, the assists on Jake DeBrusk's goal go to Charlie McAvoy and Brad Marchand to make it 3-0 Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs in the second period here. But I'm sorry, continue with what you were saying.
I was just going to say, I mean, yeah, of course, like the Capitals have a lot of pride. I mean, imagine that. Like, Ovechkin, are you kidding me? He would love to score, you know, seven goals in that series and beat him in five games. I think overall, they're going to win. But, like, you never count out, like, champions like that. They're, like, no lead is safe. I mean, never going into a series going, I'm going to win that. All right, Lou, I mean, Steve, you guys know that.
Right.
No, of course, definitely. The one thing that I think is going against Washington, though, is the fact that, you know, they approached the deadline this year like they weren't a playoff team, like they weren't going to make the playoffs. So they ended up selling off players like Evgeny Kuznetsov, who ended up going to Carolina. And actually, he scored tonight. For the Hurricanes.
That's fine.
But, you know, it's like they didn't really do anything to improve. It's almost like the ultimate, and it's funny, I call them David in this situation when you consider the fact that Ovechkin is a Stanley Cup winner. But this is, you could almost consider this to be a David versus Goliath type matchup.
Yeah, and I honestly, I really like that. Think of Ovechkin. All right. Everyone and their brother and their sister and their mother is writing them off, right? Who's to say that guy will take note. He will score, you know, He'll go five goals, four assists. I mean, come on. You're begging that guy to be awake? Do not count John Cat like that. Never assume anything. When you're going to the series, never assume anything. That guy's capable of scoring more goals. That guy's capable of scoring more goals than anyone in the country right now in one series. And you know he will. Mm-hmm. Don't wake him up.
True.
I mean, come on. You can never assume, like, these first-round series. I mean, come on. Ovechkin, no offense. I mean, I'm a Rangers fan. He's won more than we have recently. Am I wrong? So he's not scared of the Rangers. You don't think on his way to retiring, you don't think he wants to beat the Rangers? Come on, man.
Yeah, true.
I'm not saying he's scared of the Rangers, but I'm just going, you know, if obviously he's the number one weapon for Washington, so he's going to have, you know, the most impact specifically on Washington's side.
Of course.
it could just be that the depth that the Rangers have could honestly be potentially too much for that Capitals team to handle.
Steve, of course, I totally agree with you. I mean, overall,
make
man
it
for man,
4-0.
The Rangers are far deeper. I'm just saying. Ovechkin
Alex,
can score a couple goals.
How much money did you put down on Boston?
300.
Consider it a win. Boston's up now 4-0.
Well, I lost 100 on the Sixers. Yeah, Lou, I got my Bruins jersey in the mail.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sleep my Bruins jersey, Cam Neely. I'm gonna wear a Cam Neely jersey.
Must you?
Yeah. Well, we got a blessing lead now, and it looks like this
Cam
one will
Neely?
Also go to DeBrusque.
Who is Diane? Who is
Cam Neely?
Cam Neely is the best legend ever.
Yeah, he is a Boston Bruins legend, and he also is the president of the Boston Bruins right now as well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Never won a cup of
coffee. By the way,
it
looks like Jake DeBrusque has his second of the game with that 4-0 lead now.
Wow. Yeah, I'm covering it.
talk about a guy who's finally who always shows up in the playoffs. Jake DeBrusque off to yet another hot start.
The guy you want to build around. Steve, a year ago, you were I wouldn't say you were skeptical. You weren't pissed, but like when they collapsed, when they lost, dude, we all knew, right? They were. You know, they were hit by the goalie injuries. They won the President's Trophy. Dude, this year is better. This year's better. It doesn't make sense, but it makes math. This year's team is better.
That's now 5 straight games that the Toronto Maple Leafs have allowed at least 4 goals.
Wow.
And that's not just playoffs. That's also including the regular season. And it looks like
there you go.
And you know what's funny too is Toronto is out shooting Boston 25-20 right now, and Boston has the 4-0 advantage.
How's the crowd
Boston?
Over there? Is the Boston crowd just fucking rocking right now?
Oh yeah, I mean
Paul Pierce,
Kevin
Garnett, who was in there? You know the Boston rocking.
They had Reggie Lemelin as the fan captain, former Boston Bruin Reggie Lemelin, as the fan captain out in the crowd. Normally what they do before every playoff game, they have a former Bruins player or a or, you know, a former player or representative of any Boston sport usually out there waving the Bruins flag before the start of each home playoff game. And today they had Reggie Lemelin from all the way back in the late 1980s. Waving the flag this time.
Nice. And Steve, I will say, I mean, you know.
They're playing in Boston.
Correct.
Yeah, they are. They're obviously playing in Boston. I will say, I mean, back when the Eagles were, like, ready to go to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago in a row, they would have all the big guys coming out. Like, no. The Bruins are set. They're ready. You don't want to put, like, too much pressure on the players. You know what I mean? You don't have 85 celebrities waking up, showing up to the place. That's a little bit too much pressure. But, like, I think now is their time. You know, you got to let them be who they are and play their game. I mean, I think the Bruins are as better as anyone in the league right now.
You know, it's funny, too, when you consider the fact that the way practice went this week, for the Bruins, it seemed like they were being lackadaisical, like they have been the last two games of the regular season, and that there was no urgency. And something must have happened because this team looks completely different compared to the end of the regular season.
Mm-hmm. In case anyone's interested. The Red Bulls versus the LAFC game starts soon.
Oh, and Major League Soccer, yeah.
10:30.
Okay.
All right, so at the end of the second period, it is Boston 4, Toronto nothing. And needless to say, I mean, it's been done before. It's been done before where a 4-goal lead has evaporated in the third period. But Toronto has a lot to work on if they hope to get back in this game.
Yeah, I took Boston Bruins 400, 1-4-0. Nice.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Moving over to the Western Conference, we have the defending Stanley Cup champion, Vegas Golden Knights. They are the second wild card, taking on the winner of the Central Division, the Dallas Stars.
Stars overall,
and
top three pick. I don't think they're scaring anyone. Stars are dangerous, you know, McDonald's guys. I don't think they're going to win anything. They're dangerous, though.
They are dangerous, but I've said this on more than one occasion tonight so far, that – you know, this version of the Dallas Stars is probably one of the best versions they've had in quite a few seasons. And I've said that about a lot of teams so far.
Steve, I know I'm annoying, but, like, let me interrupt you. Give me three words. Why are the Stars legit now? Give the fans one or two reasons. Why are they different? What do you think makes them legitimately, you know, dangerous?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, they've got a great mix of youth and also experience. When two of their top three scorers are all under the age of 26. Jason Robertson leading the way with an 80-point season. Wyatt Johnston, who is another one under the age of 26, 65 points in 82 games. Roop Hintz, who is another one, 65 points in 82 or in 80 games. And then you have contributions from players like Joe Pavelski, Matt Duchene, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, you know, people who have been in this, people who have been in the playoff race for a long time and are still searching for a Stanley Cup win. Or in Tyler Seguin's case, he's searching for another Stanley Cup win because he won it with the Bruins back in 2011. But, you know, it seems like the perfect mixture of high-scoring youth and also high-scoring experienced players, not to mention the fact that their goaltender, Jake Oettinger, I mean, lights out this year, 35-14-4 with a 2.72 goals against average and a save percentage of 90.5%. You know, it almost seems like it's the perfect combination almost.
Yeah, I mean, you mix that up in a cup right now. Mix it up in a blender. Mix it up, and they can go on the road and score 7 goals. They can score 4 goals. They can score 5 goals. Dangerous offense. Confident goalie. Let up 2. Score 4. Win. I mean, they sound dangerous.
Yeah, and normally I would take them in an instant. However, they are facing the defending Stanley Cup champions. And, you know, obviously, yeah, that's fine and dandy. But this is a team that has so many players on long-term injured reserve right now. They basically pulled a Tampa Bay Lightning when Tampa Bay had Nikita Kucherov. When they had Nikita Kucherov out for the season, they put him on long-term injured reserve. Which allowed them to make a couple of deadline moves, bring in some big key players with that salary, and then they were able to reactivate Nikita Kucherov for the playoffs, where they then went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. They're doing the same thing in Vegas with Mark Stone. Mark Stone was put on long-term injured reserve just in time for the trade deadline, where they then went out, got Noah Hanifin, the top defenseman on the market, who, by the way, has been re-signed to an 8-year extension. Went out and got Tomas Hertl, who has been the top scorer for the San Jose Sharks for the last, I mean, he's been in the league for like 10 years, I believe, if I recall correctly. They also went out there. They went out and got another. They made another trade. I forget specifically who, but this team. They went out and got Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals.
Definitely.
And he finished with 23 goals on the year. You know, this is a team that they may be a second wild card, but the amount of talent on this team, they are much better than just the second wild card.
I mean,
I would not sleep on Vegas.
Steve, let's be honest. Let's wake up. They're not scared of anyone, right? They can skate. They can play against anyone. I always say that. I mean, NBA, NHL, dude, these guys aren't scared. They will go in and win a couple games on the road. I would just love saying it. Lou, you're going to hate me. Lou, don't shoot me. But, like, no, like the Rays.
Yes.
The Tampa Bay Rays, they love going in and beating the Yankees in Bronx. These guys are not scared of going into another arena and winning a couple games. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying that they are.
That's all I'm saying. These guys are not scared. They love going into other people's arenas.
That's how you win. You don't give them the fear.
Yeah, but I'm not saying they are scared, though. I'm not saying that they're scared. I'm just saying that while a lot of people will probably go with Dallas in this series, I would not sleep on the Vegas Golden Knights because
no.
they're the amount of talent on that team, they are much better than a second wild card slot.
Yeah,
I'll put that way.
I took Vegas and lose Austin Show earlier. I took Vegas. I don't expect Vegas not to win that series. I expect Vegas to win the series. That's it.
Yeah, I got Vegas in seven. I think it'll definitely be hard fought, but I just think that Vegas, it's going to be a major difference maker with them getting Mark Stone back. What was that, Alex?
I was talking about talking to Harry. So I think overall, I mean, that's going to be a great series. I think Vegas, I mean, again, I always go with people who are like, where do they go into those situations? It's so different. I mean, any sport. I always take, like, the battle-tested guys. Vegas has been there. I'm going Vegas.
Yes. What do you think, Lou? Who do you have in this matchup with Vegas and Dallas?
Well, I mean, Vegas is not the defending Stanley Cup champions for nothing, you know. I mean, you can't write them off just yet. So I think they're better than the second wild card. I'm going to go with Vegas.
I really think that we're going to see Vegas do the same thing that they did that Tampa Bay did,
yeah,
a couple of years ago, with the salary, with working around the salary cap and everything, with them, because the thing is, once the playoffs come around, salary cap doesn't matter. You could put somebody down in the AHL the entire season, like somebody worth $10 million down in the AHL, and then call them up, and there's no salary restrictions when the playoffs come around.
Right.
So, they're doing the same thing here with bringing Mark Stone off of long-term injured reserve just in time for the start of the first round. And now it's worth noting that it didn't say that whether or not he would play in game one, but he has been officially activated off of long-term injured reserve. So he has been skating and everything, and he was cleared for contact. So that remains to be seen if he'll start game one. But Vegas right now, I believe, is at 100%. With this news having come out, so
look at that, Steve. I mean, that's got to be. I mean, I'm thinking Vegas. They play
right, hard.
I mean, I'm taking them.
Now our next matchup, they will face the winner of Dallas and Vegas will face the winner of this next matchup, being the Winnipeg Jets against the Colorado Avalanche. And everybody, let's get ready for the annual Winnipeg collapse, because we know it happens every single year. And it's just horrible in their case that they ended up having to face Colorado in the first round, because once again, this is another one of those teams that, even though they may be where they are in the standings, they're a lot better of a team than what they're marked as in the standings.
Yeah.
So I am going Colorado in this one, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're finished in five or six. What are your thoughts on this one, Alex, with the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, I mean, I'm going to, got a little bias there. Colorado, Chris Drury, I played hockey with him. Well, I got cut with him about 5 seconds when I was on the ice. But I tried out for the same team as him, Fairville Prep in Connecticut. Chris Drury is now he's the general manager of the Avalanche. I'm going Avalanche. That was probably the worst story I've ever tried to tell. I'm going Avalanche. No, I mean, they are much more talented. I'm going Avalanche.
Well, what are your thoughts, Lou? Who do you have with Winnipeg or Colorado?
You know, I think I see something different this year with this Jets team. I mean, this is not this, I don't think the same this team that has collapsed in recent years. They've been playing much better and much stronger offense here. I think I'm going to say that the Jets are going to break their misfortune, and then they're going to win this series. You can call me crazy all you want, but that's the way I see it.
I mean, it is worth noting that Winnipeg does have the better goaltender.
Yeah.
But overall, I just think you take a look at the point differential. Winnipeg, they scored 45 less goals this year than Colorado, but yet at the same time, they also allowed less goals than Colorado has this year. So it's sort of like I pretty much put this down to experience, sort of the experience versus youth argument again. And in this case, Colorado has both. They have both youth and they also have experience, you know, having won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. And I find it hard to go against the Avalanche in this matchup.
Well,
our next matchup, we have the Vancouver Canucks, who were the winners of the Pacific Division. They will be taking on the first wild card in Nashville. And the Vancouver Canucks, you want to talk about a team who, they after losing their first Stanley Cup chance in, you know, they their first realistic Stanley Cup chance, I should say, to Boston back in 2011. You know, they had been a team that had been on the rebuild for quite a while. And this Vancouver team really looks like they finally started to piece everything together, in particular with, you know, they're also a very young team. The one factor I'll put here, though, is that they don't have the experience. I mean, yeah, they have a couple of veterans, but they don't really have the experience edge.
Yeah. Well, experience of the in, part of my language. I mean, you can go to war without any, like, you know, newcomers. Steve, I mean, come on. I'm not looking to paint the town red. It's obvious. Any sport, basketball, baseball, you know, anything, football. If you have old rookies, you're done. You need people who know how to get the job done. Battle-tested, war-tested, people who know how to go through it. Hockey, I mean, there's got to be, you know, check me if I'm wrong. You're never going to win with, like, Sidney Crosby. His rookie year, he needs, like, different people with him. You need veterans. I think in any sport, you need veterans.
Right. And at the same time, though, Nashville is in kind of that same situation where, yeah, they have people who have had experience before on, you know, in the playoffs. But actually, no, they do have a Stanley Cup winner. They have Ryan McDonagh, who won the Stanley Cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning on their blue line. But other than that, it's another one of those matchups where you have to line up the two. And offensively, I think Vancouver has the edge. Defensively, maybe that might go the way of Nashville. As far as goaltending goes, I would probably, if I had to choose between Thatcher Demko or UC Saros, I would probably have to go with Thatcher Demko in that case, considering Demko, has at least a 0.4% or I should say 0.40% better goals against average than UC Saros does. Saros, though, does have the experience edge when it comes to having been in playoff hockey. But I'm going to go with Vancouver. I think Vancouver takes it in 6 or 7. What are your thoughts, Alex, with Vancouver and Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, overall, Vancouver could win. It's going to come down to, like, how they play, right? Everyone has, like,
right.
a plan. Everyone has the coaching staff, a plan. It's going to come down to how they execute. Vancouver, I've heard a lot of business about every year. Vancouver, Vancouver, Vancouver. Let's see if they can do it. Cool. Let's see it. Let's see it. Prove it. Prove it.
All right. What about you, Lou? Who do you have in this matchup of Vancouver and Nashville?
No question about Vancouver.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. We could, considering how highly touted this Vancouver team has been this year, we could see another Vancouver riot potentially, like we did in 2011, if they don't win the cup this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Steve, don't get me wrong. I didn't mean to sound like Britney Spears before, but like seriously, Vancouver has to prove it a little bit. I mean, come on.
Right.
I've heard about them for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Let's get it done.
No, you got a point. You got a point, Alex. That Vancouver, they've been highly touted, but once again, this is a team that hasn't really had the level of playoff experience as opposed to some of the other teams on this in this year's playoffs. You know, this is a relatively young team.
That's dangerous too. That's very dangerous to them. Scared to like get in there. I mean, come on. When you get in the playoffs, man, it's a whole different game. The big dogs feast on little dogs. I mean, it's mental. I've always said that. It's mental. Like when you get in these like playoff games, you know, Jimmy Butler. He was never the best player, but he will beat the best player one on one in the playoffs. It's all mental. That's what I was saying.
Right. Score update here. The Toronto Maple Leafs get on the board. David Camp with a goal, thanks to an assist from Ryan Reeves. It is now 4-1 Boston with 18 minutes to go.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also an assist goes to Benoit as well. That one was just added. And our final matchup for the Stanley Cup playoff first round here, we have the Edmonton Oilers. You want to talk about teams who choke. You have the Edmonton Oilers taking on the Los Angeles Kings. With how bad of a start Edmonton got off to this year, they have rebounded and have found themselves as a number two seed with 104 total points this year. Is this the year that Edmonton, that Connor, what's it called? Connor McDavid finally puts it all together and wins a Stanley Cup for the Edmonton Oilers?
He's on his way. I mean, well, it's going to almost be the best player that's never won a ring. I ain't Steve Wonder. I can see a little bit, but no, I can see it. He's going to score, 200 points a year. I don't think he's ever going to win a ring. Shoot me if I'm wrong.
I mean, this is a 1-2 punch once again of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who both put up 100-plus points per year on the same team. And I'll put it this way. I don't know how many more losing seasons Connor McDavid can handle in particular. You may be right, Alex. You know, he could turn into that type of guy, into that type of player who becomes the best player to have never won a Stanley Cup.
Steve, hold on. Let me clarify. I love him. He's like a Wayne Gretzky. He's a Messi. He's a Michael Jordan. He's an incredible player. I love him overall. I don't think he can win in the current situation. I love Messi. I love Jordan. You know, I love all these guys. I don't think in his current situation he can win. That's not a strike against him. He needs to go out of there, maybe play for, you know, whoever. But, I mean, he's not winning Edmonton. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh no, that's what I took from your original statement, because this guy has had how many opportunities in the playoffs so far with Edmonton throughout his career, and I think the furthest they've gotten is the conference semifinals, or if the furthest they may have gotten is maybe a loss in the conference. I think they got swept maybe one time in the conference finals. You know, it's like with the amount of talent that's on this roster, you know, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl both combined this year for 238 points. Combined both players. Then you have a young defenseman in Evan Bouchard who put up 18 goals this year and 64 assists for 82 points. That's not numbers you normally see out of a defenseman.
No.
You have Zach Hyman who put up 54 goals on this roster. I mean, I'll say this right now. It would be an epic failure if the Oilers don't at least make the conference finals. Or actually, no. I'll put it even further. It would be an epic failure with this roster if they don't at least make the Stanley Cup Finals. Not necessarily win, but if they don't at least make the Stanley Cup Finals, it would be an epic failure.
It would be chilling and damning. It'd be damning. It would be everything that we feared. No, like old school people, they love the Oilers. Here, like now, it's like TikTok. Fuck that. No, like overall, the Oilers will maybe the best fan base in the world coming up. I remember Grant Fuhr, Mark Messier, Kevin Lowe, Esa Tikkanen. It can go on. If they don't win, I mean, that's crazy. So, I mean, overall, Oilers.
I think this may be the first season. This may be the first season.
The Oilers overall.
That somebody.
We're talking about Oilers. On a podcast. Yeah.
This may be the first season, Alex, that somebody other than Leon Draisaitl scored more goals than Connor McDavid throughout Connor McDavid's entire Oilers career so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. I mean,
if you have a big three like that.
No, I mean, that's not good. Let's do the math. We can always have rosy, you know, glasses on. Everyone's great, but, like, that's not good. That's a great tradition.
What I'm saying, though, is that if you have a big three like Edmonton does this season with McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman putting up a total of over 120 goals between the three of them, and you mean to tell me and the Edmonton Oilers get bounced before the Stanley Cup Finals?
No, there's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
You want me to say something? There's no excuse.
No.
You're done. You're done. You're fired. I mean, what else do you want me to say? That's ridiculous. There's no excuse. They have way too much talent there.
Right.
There has to be a
different
way.
With that being said, I have Edmonton, obviously, over the L.A. Kings in this matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
What are your thoughts, Alex?
What? The Kings?
The Kings or the Oilers?
Well, I mean, you know, I love Gretzky, 99. You know, I think McDavid, if he loses again, it's got to be like the end of the road, right? There's been so many years. Oh, protect him.
Yeah.
Protect him, right? What are we, Pidetti? Protect yourself. No, like, he's always came up short. I think if he loses now, he's done. I mean, McDavid, it seems to be like he's a fake general. Like, he's not, like, he's almost like the guy in, like, the premiership. Yeah. He's like the Gretzky without the ring. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but.
Right. No,
me, like,
no, you're
McDavid
right. He's basically,
like,
he's the highest
he feels
performing
like he's an empty,
player
he's an
without
empty,
a
like,
ring yet.
Yeah, he's like a Jordan without the Jordan. He's a Kobe without the Jordan. Like,
yeah,
I haven't seen it. So, yeah, I mean,
Lou, what are your thoughts on this matchup, Lou, with Oilers and Kings?
I think a lot is going to depend, I hate to say it, but I think a lot is going to depend on how Connor McDavid does. I mean, McDavid is a great goal scorer, especially in the regular season. I mean, yeah, he's had trouble with the players, but I think with the way he's done this year, and has really taken the Oilers, you know, from a dumpster fire to just like top of the heap in that division or close to it. I think this might be the Oilers series to win here. You know, I don't think, I think a lot of you are expecting the Kings to win, but I see the Oilers winning this series. I really do.
I mean, when you think about it, this was a team that at one point this season, everybody was saying, oh, there's no way they make the playoffs with
like
how they were playing. You know, with how they were playing, there was at one point this season where people said, I don't see how the hell they make the playoffs without – overhauling this roster, and all of a sudden, you look at where they are right now. So, I definitely think it's a win for Edmonton in this series.
It's gonna be close.
Yeah, probably. It'll probably be a close series. I mean, the Kings, you know, the Kings have definitely been an upstart team the last couple of years. Especially after the Jonathan Quick years, where, you know, Jonathan Quick carried them through their last couple of cup wins that they had. And then after Jonathan Quick left, you know, or right as he was going down towards the tail end of his career, I should say, you know, LA had been more of a rebuilding type of team.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's on an upswing or you know, trying to work hard, but like they don't strike me as like a person like or a team that's ready to win it all. There's different teams that like they're ready. And like they're happy to be there, good for you. Wave to them. They're not gonna win it.
No, I agree. I agree. I would be very surprised if we see the LA Kings in a in the Stanley Cup final this year.
I don't see it happening.
All right, let us move over to the NBA as we have, well, first off, we had the play-in games this week. And before we talk about the actual playoff matchups, we got to discuss the Golden State Warriors. The state of the Golden State Warriors.
I'm
and,
ready.
And Alex,
you and I
were talking about this.
I came for it.
You know, you and I were talking about this earlier this week, Alex, when everything completely disintegrated for the Warriors.
Implode.
Is this the last that we have seen of the trio of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green?
Yeah, and it's not just because, you know, whatever. Everyone has angles. Oh, yeah, I hate the Lakers. I hate the Warriors. No, I'm speaking on reality. I've seen this for a couple of years, so let's think about this. Draymond, yeah, get lit up every day. Fouls. He's the least of worries. Steve Kerr's worried. You know, Klay has not been the same for about 2 years. Let's be honest. I'm just saying. Let's be honest.
Oh, no, I agree.
I'm jealous. I mean, I think he's an awesome player. I'm not a hater. Let's look at him right now. He is not the same he used to be. He scored 0 points the last game they played. He's not effective right now. There's a lot of different things going on. Gold State's done. I don't know how to say it. That house is gone. It really is. That's a lottery team next year.
And also, I mean, technically they're a lottery team this year as well, but Portland, of course, holds their
Blazers got the pick.
Yeah.
Portland's got
their pick this year.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, sorry for nothing, but like, dude, imagine that, like, Draymond Green was, like, screaming, like, trying to, like, kill, like, people. Are you kidding me? It seems like it's almost karma. Fuck the Warriors. Pardon my French. I mean, seriously, they're done.
You know, I think everybody's been waiting for this for a long time, though, Alex. A lot of people have been waiting. You know, finally, Mr. Quadruple Single. Well, obviously he's not going anywhere because he's locked up. He's locked up with Golden State. But if anybody's going anywhere, it might be Klay Thompson because he is a free agent. And you would kind of figure that if they had any plans of re-signing him or of keeping him, that he would have already been signed to an extension by now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, seriously, no, you're going to see Klay leave. You know, obviously, you know, Steph is fucking locked in for life, which is cool. I respect him. I've always said that. I respect him. But, no, the dynasty is done.
Well, what are your thoughts on this, Lou, with Golden State and their early exit of Sacramento, the questions surrounding Klay Thompson, if he'll be brought back? Is this the end of the Golden State dynasty?
Of this particular era, yes. I mean, this is not the same team that won, you know, the championship from, you know, in the first iteration of this. You know, they're getting older and, you know, starting to slow down a bit. So this is not the same Warriors team, you know, that won those championships in the 2010 era. And, you know, as good as Curry still is and everything, you know, they have, I think, lost a couple of steps this year. So this, I think, is the end of a dynasty here. And it might take another 30 years to get it back.
I mean, they signed Chris Paul this offseason. I don't think anybody expected Paul to drop the way he did.
Steve, he was old and injured. That was a terrible move.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He was not a good signing. That was a terrible move.
Right. No, I agree with you. And I said that was not a good move. I said this around the time that they acquired him. Where are they going to fit him?
Nowhere. You said anchor. Dude.
No way.
I'm sorry, man. I love Chris Paul. I respect Chris Paul. Dude, he was an anchor of no one. He was, like, phased out of the NBA 2 years ago. They signed him? I mean, come on.
Obviously, his numbers this year are the worst that it's been over, honestly, probably going all the way back to maybe his first couple of years.
You put music?
I do.
I put music.
I mean, 9.2 points per game, 6.8 assists per game.
John Mayer.
Granted, this may have been from... You know, because he played the entire season on the bench. But at the same time, you know, it just really shows how his production has completely dropped.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, not just that, but now, you know, moving forward, they're going to have to expect more out of players like Jonathan Kuminga, which, I mean, Jonathan Kuminga, he took a pretty big step forward this year, production-wise. But they're going to expect more out of players like Moses Moody. Even Kayvon Looney. Kayvon Looney didn't really have the same impact that he's had over the last couple of years. Andrew Wiggins, his numbers, if I recall, were actually a little bit down this year compared to the year when they won over the Boston Celtics. It just seems like we're starting to see Golden State be in a transitory type of phase.
Yes.
If you check your grammar, you probably get a little
where they're basically transitioning themselves from the. And another thing too, you gotta keep in mind, Steph Curry. I mean, he's 36 years old. You know, we don't know how much longer he's going to be playing the game here. Obviously, he's going to be a Golden State Warrior for life. You know, he's probably going to retire as a Golden State Warrior. There's been a lot of turnover in Golden State. I believe they just got a new general manager and a new owner as well, I believe.
Yeah.
It is.
So, you know, there's just a lot of turnover going on there. So, but... We do have the NBA playoffs that are already currently underway. We do have a couple of finals from earlier today. Starting off with the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks lead the Philadelphia 76ers thanks to a 111-104 victory in Game 1. The 76ers, it's worth noting, they were without D'Anthony Melton, and they were also without another bench player as well. And Joel Embiid, there was a little bit of an injury scare that he had injured himself again, but he did end up coming out to play the second half. Let's start off with you, Lou. I mean, you know, the New York Knicks, they enter the playoffs as the number 2 seed. Which is the highest that they finished in how long?
Quite some time. yet they're not favored to win, which I think is kind of ridiculous. I mean, how in the world can they say that the Sixers, who are the seventh seed, favor over the Knicks? I mean, what? Because you got NBA is not that healthy to begin with anyway. And if he gets hurt, it's going to be a very tough road for the Sixers, a tough hole to climb out of. So I think it's very misleading that they are favored to win. I'm not buying it. So I just think they have a very legitimate chance to win this series. And anybody who doubted the Knicks is going to eat their words, okay, because there's this prediction that is totally bogus. I don't know what they're basing it on, but I'm not buying it. Even if it'll be this, you know, see, New York has a lot of weapons. The Sixers are relying on one player. So I don't see it happen.
Yeah, you know what? Alex and I were actually talking about this earlier. The fact that, you know, when it comes to Joel Embiid, if he ever gets injured during this playoff run, that's basically it for the Sixers. But yet, you take a look at the Knicks. You take a look at the Knicks who are coming in without Julius Randle, and they are actually playing better without Julius Randle.
Yeah.
They're dangerous. Steve, I mean, honestly, I should have never gone against the Knicks my way out of that bet. Obviously, we're not at betting forum, but, like, seriously, they're like the random team that's on fire. The Knicks are on fire right now. I'm telling you. They're not scared of Boston.
Are they going to beat Boston?
Are they going to beat Boston? Probably not. Are they scared? No. Are they going to go hard? Yeah. Is it going to be seven games? Yeah. I mean, they're on a mission right now. It's
well,
different.
Let's put in there, too, that it helps that they have a defensive coach as well in Tom Thibodeau.
Well, yeah, he lives and dies by defensive. I mean, he will pull people out that for $80 million a year, and he will bench them. Tom Thibodeau will bench him for 3 years. And he will make sure that they're right before they play. No, and
yeah,
come here.
Go ahead.
No, and Thibodeau will make sure, like, anyone who plays on his whistle, any player that suits up for him, wears his uniform, they will make sure he plays hard. That's
right.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
But
the Knicks go hard. The Knicks go hard.
The Knicks, they got a huge contribution from Miles McBride off of the bench today. 21 points off of the bench for McBride. 22 points apiece for Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson as well. OG Anunoby contributed for 11, and Bogdanovich contributed for 13. When you compare it to Philly, I mean, obviously the two main targets for Philly are Embiid and Maxey. Lowry, honestly, I'm kind of surprised that Lowry even put up 18 points. Because Lowry, it seemed like he's been on the tail end of his career the last couple of years. So it's actually kind of surprising that Lowry is still as productive as he is. But yeah, just by looking at it, honestly, the Sixers, it is kind of surprising that the Sixers are considered, Lou, you said they're considered to be favored in this series.
Exactly. I think it's kind of stupid.
No way.
But yeah, that's what according to one of the sports books said, that the Sixers are favored, which is ridiculous. Only happened one other time since 1988. Bye-bye.
Wow, that's why I lose every bet. I'm shocked.
Yeah, there's no way that you could head into series and consider them to be the favorites.
Well, I lose every bet.
Unless that was a sports
every bet,
book directly
every,
out of
every
Philly.
Bet, every bet you take.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, obviously, I believe that the Knicks, you know, the Knicks are they should be the front runner in this series. And
yeah.
I would assume that that's probably what we're looking at. And by the way, you can consider that bet of yours cashed, Alex. The Bruins just scored an empty net goal by Trent Frederick. So they're about to take game one.
Oh, thanks. Put it by the recycling bin. I lost like three other ones. No, I knew. Yeah, Steve, you're always a guru with hockey, just like Lou. I don't want to say it's dangerous, right? I never want to say it's easier,
right.
But like, I think hockey's a little bit easier with betting. Dude, basketball,
yeah.
Football is dangerous. Football is deadly. It's terrible at betting. Yeah, I think it's a little bit better. Is it easier? They're all very risky.
I would say hockey is probably easier than football because at least with hockey, you know, the thing is with hockey, it can go either way. You know, normally with football, there's multiple ways of betting with football, but specifically when it comes to football, you normally have a good grasp on who's gonna win which game and whatnot. Usually, there's no sort of upset, so to speak.
Of course,
no,
Steve. I'll give you. I won't bore the crap. I'll give you a great story. Paul, it was what was it? Eagles. Eagles are playing in New York, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't Zach Wilson. It was Jalen Hurts playing in the Dome, right? In New Jersey. Dirty Jersey. They're playing in Jets. Oh my God. It was plus, they went up like a touchdown. I bet them. It was like, lost like $1,000. Put down like $100, win $1,000 if the Eagles won. I'll never forget it.
Mm.
The Eagles forgot about how to play offense. You guys remember that? They just won.
I don't actually.
Yeah.
I think like Zach Wilson, I think someone like threw a spiral. It was the most like ridiculous play ever. They just won. I was like, oh, my God, you got to shoot me. No, but, like, they just won. Point being, like, anything can happen.
By
the
way, just a little note here for the Bruins game. Brad Marchand with his 2 points tonight, his 2 assists tonight, he now moves into second most all-time in Bruins playoff history. For points with 130 points, 31 behind the legend Ray Bourque, who has 161. So Marchand breaks his three-way tie that he had with Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, who all three of them entered into tonight with 128 points. But Marchand, obviously, the only one being active out of all of them, with Bergeron and Krejci both retired. So Marchand is now second all-time in Bruins history with 130 playoff points.
That, I mean, literally, that's a guy, like, seriously, Marchand, he's like one of the gates. It's like if you're playing, like, rock music, Axl Rose, like, Metallica.
Yeah.
Marchand's like one of the goats. Marchand's like one of the guys. He's one of the goats. Wow, good for him, man. Keep going, dude. They have to win a ring. They have to get a ring.
Yep, and actually, his first year, if I remember correctly, his first year was the year that they won that cup in 2011.
Yeah.
Won it again.
And, I mean, he's been contributing ever since. So now with a 5-1 victory tonight, I assume this probably means that Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net once again for game two, which is set for Monday.
Wow. Where's that game? I'm on Monday. Is that on the road? Where's that?
Boston. No, it's still in Boston. I think it's at 7 maybe, or it might be at 8 again. All right, our next playoff matchup, we also saw another game one take place. The Minnesota Timberwolves defeated the Dream Team Phoenix Suns 120-95 with all of the talent on that Phoenix Suns roster. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. And
Grayson Allen.
Oh, yeah, Grayson Allen, too, but Grayson Allen only had 4 points. All of that talent, and they got absolutely demolished by Minnesota.
Well, let's be honest. That's not a championship team, right? They have no defense.
No.
Who's passing the ball? Who's covering, Anthony Edwards? Who's playing D? The ball. Who's running the offense?
I don't know who's covering Edwards, but Edwards was even shit talking Durant after every shot that he would make.
He's not scared. Edwards loved it. He's not scared. Durant's the one who's scared. Durant's not on a team. Edwards has a team. Minnesota has a team. Point guard, defense, passing. Durant's like one of those guys who's like a chucker. Durant's the guy.
I just find it funny, though.
Durant's a soldier. Durant's a chucker.
Yeah.
Durant's not a team.
I just find it so funny that they gave up so much for Bradley Beal and they gave up so much for Kevin Durant. And this is the result.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Bradley Beal has been a complete bust. He gets injured like coming out of bed. He's been terrible. He's been the worst on it maybe in the last 10 years for the NBA. They gave like $100 million. He can't even get it at bat. Beal's been awful.
You know, if anything, I think what this has done is this has exposed Bradley Beal for being like, oh, congratulations, you were the best player on the fucking Washington Wizards.
Exactly.
You were the best player on the Wizards. Congratulations.
Yeah. Steve, we both love talking shit. Like, we're not going to talk shit on him, but, like, Beal, yeah, Bradley Beal, you've been exposed. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He signed, like, for, like, $200. What do you do? I mean, that guy's, he's coming up short. He's always injured. Now you have Durant and Booker. Good luck. I mean, they're both great players, but, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Are Durant and Booker going to, like, win? They're both really good players. They're not going to win a ring.
No.
They're not going to win a ring.
No, it takes a lot. And, I mean, who's the guy that – who did they have at center originally? But they traded him to Portland.
My guy from the Blazers, Nurkic. I love him.
No, not Nurkic. I'm talking about who did they trade to Portland?
Aiden.
Yeah, DeAndre Aiden.
Right.
He's been good now. Like, he's not the man. He's not a championship guy.
No, but I think he would have helped a lot more than Nurkic.
Yeah. I mean, they're both like B+. Are they championship? No.
Yeah. Those are not the guys you want leading the team. Like, would the Nets want that? No. Would the Celtics want them? No. Like, they're not championship guys.
I mean, they would potentially want Nurkic for the bench because Nurkic is better than Cornette, but
I love Nurkic. He's a really good player. He's hardcore, but he's more like a B minus. Like, he's not going to like win a ring. He'll be like
but
along
still, you
the
also
ride.
Got,
he'll play
but
defense.
Still, you also got players on your bench like Eric Gordon, who had 0 points. Isaiah Thomas is one thing because Isaiah Thomas, you know, he had been playing on a 10-day contract a couple of times this year. So
yeah.
And he hasn't been in the league in years.
That's different self. Yeah,
good. You got Royce O'Neal, who was really the only meaningful bench scorer today with 14 points.
Originally from the Nets. Great
yeah,
player. Like
originally from
like,
the Nets, yeah.
Yeah, like Blue Carr, like, you know. Guys, like, if we start a team, I would love Royce O'Neal on the Blazers. Keep it great on the Knicks, like. But, like, it's weird, like, the Suns were, like, so put together from, like, different angles. Like, Grayson Allen. Okay. Royce O'Neal. Bradley Beal. Grayson Allen. Kevin Durant. Booker. Like, dude, Bradley Beal. Like, they're all from, like, different parts of the country. There's no defense. That's a weird team. There's no way that roster's going to win a ring. No way. That's not a fantasy team. That's a fantasy roster. That'd be like, oh, yeah, I could put together, like, all home run pillars. We're not going to win a World Series. That's not a championship team. I'm sorry. There's no way. They've never had a point guard. They never. No one had a point. Bradley Beal. Grayson Allen. No one plays point guard. No one can ever share the ball. They were all shooters. Maybe one or two of them played defense. That's not a championship team. Are you kidding me?
No.
That's like a fantasy team. It looks good. It ain't winning anything.
By the way, it looks like this one's about to go final. The Denver Nuggets take game one over the L.A. Lakers, 114-103.
Wow. It could also be like, Steve, it could also be like anyone I'm betting, the opposite is going to happen. Lou, I bet like three different games before. You'd be amazed. Steve. Yeah, I took like everyone. I'm like opposite day. Hey, guys, take my money.
So once again, Gabe Vincent didn't show up for a playoff game. Surprisingly, you know, this is the reason why the Lakers got him in the first place was because of the performances that he put on with the Miami Heat last year in the playoffs. But, no, he chose not to show up today.
D'Angelo Russell do? 18 points?
Russell, 13 points. He did 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists.
I cannot determine, like, what to bet on. Wow. Sorry, Luke, close your ears with Diane. Yeah, I literally cannot bet on anything. Whatever I bet is the opposite.
And also,
I'll bet tomorrow. Nurkic will have 85 points if I bet him against the Suns.
And also a big waste of space in this lineup. Today, Spencer Dinwiddie, no points.
No points in
13 minutes.
Yeah, from the net.
Yep. So it's, you know, it just based off of what I'm seeing here right now. The only reason why LA was even in this game was because of Anthony Davis and LeBron James combined for a total of 59 points between the two. Otherwise, you got 13 from Russell, 13 from Reeves, 11 from Prince, and only 7 from Achimura, and that's it.
Achimura.
They basically got nothing from the bench.
No, absolutely nothing. Tim Whitty, totally paraplegic. You guys got to kick, who's the GM of the Nets? Sean Marks. Lou, John Marks.
Yeah.
A few summers ago, I'm coaching, I get hired, to coach, kids in the backyard. I go in the backyard in Greenwich, Connecticut. John Marks kids, three kids running around. This guy, I'm, coaching for an hour. I'm, Prince Harry, my dog, he's the best looking, he's the leader of us. We're having fun, the mom's cool, MILF, yeah, whatever, shoot me. This, big black, Cadillac, big black Cadillac shows up, tinted windows, tinted tires, this huge car shows up. 5 guys get out. Durant, Kyrie, guys get out. They walk into this house. I'm like, what the? I didn't know what was going on. This big guy, this Australian guy, this orange hair, walks out. In a suit, comes to the backyard. He's like, "Are you coaching my son?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, I'm Sean." I'm like, "Yeah, your son's doing great."
Yeah.
It's funny though. I was coaching Sean Mark's son in the backyard.
Oh wow!
I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah, and I was like, "Hey, is that Kyrie?" He's like, "Don't worry about it." I'm like, "I'm not worried." Like, "Hey, no, I was coaching his son."
Huh?
For two hours, we kept coaching, and he's like, "Yeah, don't worry." They pulled up two or three cars in the driveway. They're guys getting out, big dude. It was Durant and Harden, those guys. They were hanging out in the shed, watching. They were hanging out watching. I'm like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" They're like, "Dude, who's this white guy with glasses?" I'm like, "Alexander." He's like, Hey mate, are you catching our son? I'm like, "Yeah. Come out here." He's like, "No, I'm good." Oh, it's great. Steve, it was great. You think I was ever scared? I was like, no. I tried to talk to you. Mark's watched over. He's like, "Hey, man, you're doing a great job with the Nets." "Keep doing what you're doing." He's like, "Is my son good?" I'm like, "I don't know. But we're going to keep working." So that's it. They were hanging out on the deck, whatever, dude. 2 minutes later, in our chat, flying somewhere else. That was pretty cool.
We've also got one more game that also took place today. The Orlando Magic dropped a 97-83 matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers purposely lost out so that they could start as the number 4 seed. They had the chance to get the number 2 seed. But they decided to lose out the remainder of the regular season. And they finished as the number 4 seed. And they win by 14 points.
They were trying to win. They were trying to play the Cavs? The Magic?
Yeah. Because they purposely, the first couple of, or the last couple of games, they played all of their bench guys.
Wow.
And they had, literally everything was lining up. That final game, everything lined up. All they had to do was win, and they would be the number 2 seed.
Wow. They've had a couple.
And instead they decided, no, we're good with 4.
They've had a couple of really, difficult missions into the playoffs. They've gotten their ass kicked. 2 or 3 years in a row. The Cavaliers are they're trying to get in right now. I'm surprised.
Yes.
No, it doesn't shock me, but they haven't done anything. The Cavs need to prove themselves.
Well, they obviously they still got to prove themselves, but they did take game 1 over a
yeah, of course,
over a very young Orlando Magic team. Thanks to 30 points off of Donovan Mitchell and 16 apiece from Evan Mobley and Jared Allen as well.
I've never seen that feel like the Magic have like so many like high, like lottery picks. They're big men. They have no shooting. I've never seen that. They never drafted. They don't have anyone shooting on the outside. Steve, I'm like, dude, if you put Peyton Pritchard on the Magic, he would score 25 a game. They have no shooting.
Probably.
They have like three or four. They have three or four of the best big men. They have no shooting. I'm mystified.
Yeah,
I'm just
basically
I'm looking
at the roster. All they do is basically layups or dunks, essentially.
Yeah, it's like you're getting the playoffs. You don't have like any shooting. No, they have Fultz. Fultz is like what the process? The Sixers total bust. Suggs is good from Gonzaga.
Sweet.
He's nice, but like they don't have any like Reggie Miller. They don't have like you know Brunson. They don't have Tatum. They don't have like a nice shooter from outside. They have no shooters from outside. They're literally just going inside hard. Like, their best players are all in, like, 6'10", 6'11". It's not going to work. I mean,
right.
Celtics, look at 12 against right. Celtics. They might win the series. I think they're better than them. They'll play the Celtics. I think they'll win the series.
But speaking of the Celtics, they also, you know, Celtics, they will be taking on the Miami Heat, who will be both without Jimmy Butler due to what did he suffer against Philly? What was it, an ankle injury?
Yeah.
Sprained, sprained shoulder, ACL, or what was it?
Right.
Oh, no, it was a meniscus, I think.
Yes, one meniscus.
Yeah, so
he'll come back.
So
if he can't, he'll come back tomorrow. He'll come out through the roof and.
Okay, come back tomorrow. Geez,
that's terrible. Oh, how could he miss a series? That would have been fun.
Well, it says he's listed as week to week.
Week to week, he ain't coming back.
No.
Yeah.
He's not coming back until at least the second round. If Miami can somehow pull off the upset over the Boston Celtics. And Miami will also be without Terry Rozier for at least the first two games due to neck spasms. I didn't know that neck spasms could keep you out two games, but, you know, apparently. Yeah. Apparently they can in Rozier's case. Although the article that I saw earlier today did say that he was technically considered week to week with the neck spasms issue. But from what I saw from a reporter, one of the NBA reporters, they said that he would be out for at minimum the first two games of this series. Against the Boston Celtics, which
he's gone.
I mean, it's all
he's gone. Steve, he's not showing up. Rozier's back. And Lou, we talked about like the Heat have a mentality like they love to play defense. They can beat anyone, but like
right.
If they don't have Rozier or Butler, I think they're done.
Yes,
Boston will sweep them.
I wish I could. Honestly, I wish I could be that confident that Boston would sweep them. But I know how Miami plays Boston, and even if with or without Jimmy Butler, I know how Miami plays Boston. Bam Adebayo, he's going to pull energy out of his ass, and he's going to have a career series. This series, I feel. You know, Tyler Hero, he can be hit or miss. Kevin Love, kind of the same thing, hit or miss. But Bam Adebayo, for some reason, it always seems like he waits until they play the Celtics because that's when he all of a sudden becomes Superman.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. They're geared towards – they want to beat the best. These guys are not fucking around. They're fucking Super Bowl guys. They're going towards the champions, right? They want to be the best.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Love, these guys are going to play like they're 19 years old. When they play these guys, man up, they're going to play like they're young. They're going to play the best they've ever been in their fucking life. And, Steve, you're going to be amazed. But you're not going to be amazed. Dude, heat culture. These guys play so – Pat Riley, Bolstra, the coaching staff, these guys play so hard, dude. In the playoffs, it's going to be a struggle. They're going to play so hard, dude. These guys, these guys play so hard, dude. That's heat culture. They play so defensive.
At the same time, though, I find it – this may just be the Celtic fanatic in me. I find it very hard to believe when you consider how they matched up against this Celtics team this year. They lost they had an 0-3 record against Boston this year in each of the for the season series. I find it hard to believe that they'll be able to match up specifically against not just Kristaps Porzingis, but also the fact that they're probably going to mix in Al Horford there. It just seems like there's too many combinations that Boston can use.
I love what you said. I love Tatum and Brown. Dude, no one's scared of Al Horford. Come on, man. Maybe his mom. No, he's defensive. Like they're gonna focus on Brown and Tatum. That's gonna be a key. The Celtics are much more talented. Are much more talented, but the Heat are gonna play team ball. It's gonna be a great series. I think it's maybe six games. Dude, the Celtics are better.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a sweep at all. I think it's definitely gonna be towards the 6 or 7 game time span.
Could be a battle.
The way I look at this Celtics team, and who knows, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Boston folds like they normally do against Miami in the playoffs. But I look at this Celtics team the way it's constructed right now.
Yeah.
They were one of the highest offensive outputting teams in the league this year. You have Porzingis, you have Derek, let me just throw Porzingis out of there. But, Porzingis defensively, he's capable of producing multiple blocks per game, of averaging multiple blocks per game, especially when you're in a – I think that's probably what they missed the most against a player like Bam Adebayo last year. Is they didn't have the size. I mean, they had Time Lord, but Time Lord wasn't healthy.
It's the deepest bench in the last 10 years, 5 years, 5 years at least. The NBA,
yeah, at least 5 years.
Celtics have the deepest team in the last 5 or 7. I would say 8 or 9 years. Deep, they got to get it done this year. I mean, they're the best.
Honestly, there's no excuse. There's no excuse this year with the acquisitions that they made, both in the both at the trade deadline and also at also in the off season, bringing
their additions and like Pritchard, Hauser, big Al is like, he's good with like coming off the bench, dude. He will lock down anyone. You have the perfect bench.
Yeah.
It's all set. This is the year.
Because otherwise, it's like if they can't win with the team that they built this year, which has probably been the best chance that they're going to have. And plus,
best
not to mention they don't have to deal with Golden State.
Yeah.
It's like
if they don't win this,
how are they going to win? if they don't do it this year.
Well, I mean, you could always go back tomorrow, like, or next year, but like, it's gonna be tough. The fans, the crowd, like, it's
the way
like,
I look at it too,
it's dangerous.
Is
this year? This year.
You have guys like Derek White and Drew Holiday who are capable of potentially putting up 30-point games at any point in time. So I think that kind of plays a little bit of a factor when it comes to previous years. You know, okay, yeah, you know, they had Marcus Smart, right? But Marcus Smart used to always want to play hero ball as opposed to, you know, doing what's best for the team. You know, you have this now with this year with them getting Drew Holiday from Portland, thanks to Milwaukee, which I mean, by the way, that's still, I believe, the stupidest decision that Milwaukee ever did was trading defense for offense.
Yes,
you know, you bring in somebody like Drew Holiday, who, granted, his numbers have been lower this year, but that's partially because he's been sacrificing for the team. I mean, this is a guy who could very easily still put up 20 points per game if he wanted to. But he only averaged, I think it was like 13 or 14 points a game this year. You know, it's definitely, he's been one of those guys that sacrificed for the greater good of the team, which is very similar to, you know, Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen back in 2008 when they joined the Boston Celtics to form the Big Three. You know, every single one of that Big Three had to sacrifice something when it came to part of their game. And, you know, I agree with Alex. You know, if this has to be the year for Boston, because otherwise I don't see them doing it any other year. I mean, yeah, you can always come back next year, but the way I look at it is, especially with Drew Holiday's contract extension, they see a 4-year window of contention with this current team.
Yes.
They have 4 years to try and get it done without drastically changing the team. But, you know, let's keep in mind, this was a team that already had the Eastern Conference wrapped up in the standings right around the halfway point of the season. So anything short of a championship is a failure. Well, I mean, it's a failure regardless, but short of a championship this year, specifically with Boston, specifically with how this team has performed this year, it's an outright failure. Like, there's no moral or there's no silver lining that you could make with this season, basically.
Mm.
Now, speaking of Milwaukee, they take on the Indiana Pacers in the first round. And I'll tell you one thing. I think there's serious potential for an upset here with Indiana. Because Milwaukee, they have not been the same team ever since they got rid of Adrian Griffin and they replaced him with Doc Rivers. they haven't been anywhere close to the same team that they used to be. And there's now been rumors that apparently Damian Lillard might be one and done with Milwaukee if Milwaukee doesn't win the title this year. Or, in particular, if they have an early exit. So there's a lot of pressure on Milwaukee right now. And Alex, I know you have a lot to say, Alex, about specifically about Damian Lillard.
Okay. Oh.
Alex?
Oh, bro. Is your phone?
I think somebody found Alex's phone, so we'll wait for him to get
Is this your phone or no? Is that your phone?
We'll wait for Alex to get to rejoin us here. But Lou, what are your thoughts on Milwaukee and Indiana in this matchup? I mean, could this really be a one and done type scenario for Damian Lillard with all of the investment that Milwaukee put into this deal?
Well, with the Greek Freak injured, I think, you know, it could be very quickly because, you know, that's who they relied on. You know, they carried them to, you know, the 2021-2022 championship. And, you know, with his injury, that could be a serious blow to the Bucks to have Manuel for our convention. And don't forget last year when they also got ousted in the first round. So, you know, I'm seeing a downward trend here with these Bucks. The longer Giannis is out, the less the chance they have to compete.
Well, yeah, that's another thing too. You know, Giannis is dealing with that injury, so he's not necessarily going to be at 100%.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis is beat up. He is not playing. I mean, obviously, if you want to win money, never listen to me. The Bucks are not winning.
Well, what are your thoughts?
I don't think.
What are your thoughts, Alex, on Damian Lillard and potentially being one and done with Milwaukee if Milwaukee has an early exit?
Yeah, it's like a guy I loved like my whole life. I love Lillard. Then he goes to, like, Milwaukee, and now Giannis is injured. I'm like, no, it's like all bets are off. No, I'm sorry. I can root for him. I can be biased, but, like, he's not winning. They're not beating that team in the playoffs. No. Milwaukee's not winning the playoffs.
No.
They can go maybe seven games.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's fine. That's sexy. No. They're not winning seven games. I'll bet a lot of money. I'll win money. They're not winning there.
It's like I said, Indiana probably has the best chance of an upset out of all the first round matchups here.
Even my dog's like, yeah. Yeah, Indiana's more like, you know, they're coming in like Indiana, like not a lot of people expect them to do well. I would say, honestly, they have the best chance to win. They're like a B minus. I also love Indiana because they have Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Haliburton,
yeah.
Like, they have a great core. I love, like, their core people. I love their players. I don't know if they can put it together, but, like, that team could beat anyone. I love that roster. Steve, I've been saying that for months.
Yeah.
But, like,
right.
Indiana, you know, it's like when you're in the playoffs, it's a different beat. You know, everyone can talk, oh, yeah, this is a great team. But, like, when you're, like, when every possession, when every shot counts, I don't know if they're, like, going to be clutch. But I love that team. India can play with anyone. Do you think they could maybe, like, go, like, do you think they could, like, challenge the title?
I think it's definitely possible when you consider And the reason why I say that is, I mean, obviously we know that Boston's going to be, you know, one of the anticipated front runners for the Eastern Conference this year. But
yeah,
when you take a look at how Indiana played Boston this year, Indiana was actually a very tough challenge for this current Boston Celtics roster.
Yeah, like they go at them hard. Are they better? No. They're dangerous.
Well, obviously.
I mean, I like
obviously,
Siakam.
You know, they're a very dangerous team.
I mean, I think Halbern's like maybe one of the best players in the world now. The guy's like, you know, 6'6", great point guard. They have like some great
with the performance that he put on earlier this season with the NBA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's great. Are they going to beat Boston? No. Are they going to maybe like give him a scare? Yeah. Hey, come here. I think that'd be a great scare.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly wouldn't rule out Indiana. Period.
I mean, honestly, I think that's like the one shot, like the one team that could actually like try to take a shot at Boston. Do I think anyone's going to beat Boston? No. Do I think one team's going to come close? Yep. Who's the team? Indiana. I mean, look at them like man for man. That's the most talented team.
Right.
Halbern.
Yeah, it's definitely. Just take a look at what Halliburton has done this year. You know, he's basically turned himself into a star.
Yeah, it's like Messi. I mean, look at him in Miami.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
So, another matchup that we've got as well is the surprising Oklahoma City Thunder. With the number one seed.
That's pretty scary.
Taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, who somehow upset the Sacramento Kings on Friday night.
Yeah, the Thunder are talented. They can score, but I don't think they can win over the I think they could. They can't play the Pelicans.
They're playing the Pelicans with no Zion.
Right. That's it right
they
there.
Have, who's the Pelican center? Just something.
Valanciunas?
Yeah, I mean, Chet, so the young, the beanpole on the Thunder, the young, you know.
For the Thunder, Mormon, Holmgren.
Chet's going to have to play against him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works. If I were the Thunder, I would bring him out to the three-point line. I would bring him out to the three-point line. I'll let him play on the perimeter all day. I mean, the game
Yeah,
changed.
I mean, they could probably... I'm just trying to think of what the matchups could potentially be, because with no Zion Williamson, that completely changes the whole entire outlook of this series, specifically for the Pelicans. Let me see. I mean, I would assume
Chris. Yeah, I mean, I think overall, I think the Thunder can get to the finals. I think they're the best team out of the West. We've seen crazier
things. It's possible. I mean, they're definitely the youngest team, I'll put it that way, specifically out of the Western Conference. They would still have to get past the Denver Nuggets, though.
Steve, check this out. do a lot of drafts if they get Klingon or Edie. Imagine them with a 7-2 center. Imagine them next year if they Edie or Klingon. Thunder. With Holmgren.
The Thunder? Oh yeah.
We're talking Thunder.
Yeah. Especially when you take a look at they would probably have a better chance of getting Edie. Although I don't know though. Wait a minute, let me see. NBA draft order currently. Oklahoma State. Oh, they got the number 12 pick actually. So they would be in Klingon's. Area of where he may be picked.
Imagine if they took him. I mean, Seth's like 7-1, but he's like a real thin. He plays on the perimeter. They don't have a center.
And as far as Edie goes, I would assume that Edie is probably – you're probably looking at Toronto for Edie.
But what if the –
actually, believe it or not, Boston may take a look at Edie because Boston has the 30th pick.
Yeah. Hell yeah. What if the Thunder took Klingon? 7-2 center?
They just get bigger.
If you have two big guys down low, like lights up. So it's gonna be very interesting. People are saying it's a very weak draft. I think it's a great draft. It's gonna be an interesting draft. It's not Kobe, it's not LeBron, it's not, you know, Michael Jordan draft. It's not a great draft, but there's some great people. There's also a lot of nice guys coming up. Castle, you know, Edie. There's some nice prospects coming up.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that there was a lot of international players this year specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, Steve. Topic is like a 6'6", like I want to say Serbian or Russian, you know. Don't quote me. I have love for everyone in the world. But he's like a Russian guy. He's like 6'6", point guard. Nasty. Who's looking at him? Disperse. Wembanyama. 6'6", like foreign, like maybe like a, you know what I mean? Like a foreign point guard. They're looking at him.
Right.
It's an interesting draft. There's no like Kobe's. There's no LeBron James. I'm just glad, you know, the Blazers have two picks.
Right. I mean, there's definitely a lot of different angles that you can look at in particular with this year's NBA draft.
I think Boston, maybe if I were Boston, I would take Edie. Dude, imagine Edie 7'5". Dude.
Well, that would solve he would basically be the replacement for Horford when Horford whenever he decides to call it a career.
Dude, imagine him in the post. Tatum, Brown, feed him the post. Dude, that'd be perfect. I think he's going to be a great player. They're saying like, oh, he's not a lottery. He might not be it. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? That guy's awesome. I love Edie. I think he's a great player. We'll see where he goes.
Speaking of the draft, we are. It's all messed up inside. Go ahead.
Prince Terry.
So it was
Isaac. Oh. Brady Rose.
Flying high.
The dogs don't even know who he is. The dogs don't even know who he is.
Prince Terry. I promise.
Where are you going, Rover?
Flying high again.
Chris. Speaking of the draft, we also have the NFL draft set to take.
Bro, we put down here like 6 months ago.
We also have the NFL draft set to take place. Later this week on Thursday night, and there seems to be a little bit of a quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
in particular, with the Washington Commanders and New England Patriots. Washington, apparently, they may have upset one of their picks that they may be taking, as Jaden Daniels was none too pleased that Washington invited every single quarterback, every single first-round quarterback, to work out for them on the same exact day. And I mean, honestly, I don't really know who. I don't really know who would actually even think about doing that, but it sends a wrong message, basically, for maybe potentially one guy that they were looking at, and then all.